Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
How can you tell it's a special weekend? All the families with children are gathered together this weekend, and they are celebrating with their communities and having a wonderful time. And may God bless them richly for that.
Amen.
One of the minor fears that I have, not yet approaching the level of a phobia, is the fear of spiders. I believe this fear stemmed from my bitten by a dock spider when I was a child and having to be taken to hospital to receive anti-spider venom. However, while at the same time I have a fear of these eight-legged creatures, I also have an admiration for their finely and beautifully spun webs. This is particularly the case when, after the dew settles in the early morning, I walk into a park or a meadow near a cottage and see the diamonds glistening on the multitude of spider webs which adorn grass and bush, twig and clusters of leaves. I know there are more beautiful sights in our Adonai-created world, but I so love that sight. Scientists tell us that, with the exception of the Arctic and the Antarctica, there exist 5,000 spiders within 1 acre of land.
Wow.
That means there are 131 of these creatures per square meter. Frankly, we are never more than 3 feet from a spider. Do you want to look under your seats right now? I certainly do hope you don't have any difficulty sleeping tonight. And there is a message for us in this here today. Abba Father, I pray that you provide us with security from the onslaught of the enemy. Even as we celebrate this moed, this time of joy and gladness, and we focus on forgiveness of others and of ourselves, I pray that you help us to recognize that the enemy never sleeps. And like a spider that clings to its web, it's always on the alert for the unsuspecting, for the naive, for the unprotected innocent, and for those who harbor sin in their hearts.
Yes. Amen.
Abba Father, help us to realize, please, how precious we are to you and how you desire that none of us fall into the clutches of the enemy.
Amen.
In your blessed name, yes. I pray. We are in the season of repentance, during which we come together as a body of believers in a love relationship with our Almighty Abba. And I think it is vital we examine one of the sources of the evil which all too often infiltrates our minds and our hearts, drawing us away from Adonai Elohim, Adonai Yeshua, the sweet and seductive, often beautiful deceit of the enemy Satan. And why am I bringing forth this message today when we are to be so happy and joyful? Well, as we read in Exodus this morning, God warned the Israelites about being seduced and deceived by the daughters, the prostitutes of the temple, the daughters of other nations who come with their hearts for other gods and not for Adonai Elohim Sabaoth. So even in this time of joy, we must be on our guard.
Yes.
Even in this time of celebration, we must be aware that he is out there constantly trying to get his hooks into us.
Yes.
Now, I realize I've shared this concept of deceit before. However, today I wish to explore more deeply what I term the pathology of Satan's deceit, his lies, his deceptions. Even though his approach may be as sweet and as beautiful as the dew-encrusted webs of spiders, his sting is far more deadly and has many more negative impacts than any spider bite. Before we examine Satan's impact on the individual, I would like to be very clear for us how Scripture, the holy word of Adonai Elohim, views the fallen angel. First, we explore his being pure evil, as we read in Matthew 13. Satan is the evil one who steals the words from those who do not understand its personal meaning to them. Whoever hears the message about the kingdom but doesn't understand it is like the seed sown along the path. The evil one, Satan, comes and sees what was sown in his heart. Then, as Adonai Yeshua was praying for the protection of his Talmudim, his disciples, when they were sent out into the world, as we find in John 17, I don't ask you to take them out of the world, but to protect them from the evil one, from Satan.
Yes.
Finally, speaking about who is protected from the snare of Satan, John writes in 1 John 5, the Son born of God protects him, and the evil one does not touch him. Clearly, all evil emanates from Satan. However, where does he derive his power? Well, beloved, in and of himself, Satan is not omnipotent. He is not omnipresent, and he is not omniscient.
Amen.
In Colossians 1, we read of the power of Adonai Yeshua, as Rav Shaul wrote, with him are created all things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones, lordships, rulers, or authorities. And they have all been created through and for him. We know the adversary was originally created as a perfect, sinless being. As we read in Genesis 1, God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. However, Satan led a rebellion in heaven. Somewhere along the way, the adversary developed the desire to be a god, as all-powerful as Adonai Elohim himself. As we read in Revelation 12, next there was a battle in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But it was not strong enough to win, so that there was no longer any place for them in heaven. The great dragon was thrown out, that ancient serpent, also known as the devil and Satan, the adversary, the deceiver of the whole world. He was hurled down to the earth, and his angels were hurled down with him. Now, this is something for us to consider carefully, because Adonai Elohim gave human beings the right to choose either the path of righteousness or the path of sinfulness. Satan has a very important role to play in this ability to choose. His role becomes the provider of the consequences of choosing sinfulness. As such, Adonai Elohim has allowed Satan to seduce those who would walk away from righteousness. This leaves us with a very clear position. There is no neutrality in our decision making. Either we decide upon the narrow path of righteousness, or we decide upon the broad path of sin. Here is the reality. We cannot sit on the fence. We must fall on one side or the other.
Amen.
Didn't Adonai Yeshua tell us he has no time for the lukewarm, as recorded in Revelation 3, verses 14 to 22. The power of the adversary, though, is clearly controlled by Jehovah. Remember what he told Satan regarding the limit of his interference with Job. Adonai said to the adversary, "Here, everything he has in your hands, except that you are not to lay a finger on his person." Make no mistake, beloved. As adults, we have the power given to us by Adonai Elohim to allow Satan to manipulate us, or the power to keep him away from us. Why do I use the word power? Simply because through our ignorance, pride, or greed, we open the door for the adversary to enter our minds and our hearts. But Satan also has the power to enter into the minds of the vulnerable and defenseless children. I am sure each one of us, from our time as being young children, carried with us Satan's lies, which formed false assumptions and false beliefs. These, in turn, drove and in some cases still drive our behaviors and our interactions with others. Albert, one of my counseling clients and a pastor who was on medical leave, some years ago sought help for an addiction to pornography. As we explored his connections with Adonai Elohim, there emerged an assumption of Albert's having a lack of power when it came to confrontation and conflict. In going deeper into this fear, Albert shared a memory with me of an interaction he had with his mother, whom he confided was an alcoholic and abused him physically. Unfortunately, Albert's father rarely intervened, as he too seemed to be powerless when it came to conflict. When Albert examined the assumption of his powerlessness, he discovered a belief which indicated to him he was unworthy of love, even of God's love. This assumption, this lie, took him by surprise, since Albert had a wonderful, loving relationship with his wife and two daughters. In our counseling sessions, we invited the Holy Spirit to sweep out the lie embedded in Albert's memory and replace it with Adonai Yeshua's truth. Once Albert believed Adonai Yeshua loved him unconditionally, with a depth of love greater than any human being could, the fear of confrontation slowly began to fade, and his addiction to pornography dissipated. However, Albert's experience is not unique. In my counseling practice, I have encountered hundreds of similar situations where Satan, through our interactions as children, has embedded lies into our subconscious minds, lies which we accepted as truth then, and today allow them to drive our daily thinking about ourselves and our behaviors. In the adult world of seduction, Satan has a very effective strategy called bait and switch. I'm sure you've all heard of that term before.
Yeah.
It's very common in the world of secondhand car buying. This is a very subtle form of temptation which works on both pride and greed. Let's take a look at scripture for an example. Remember Satan's temptation of Chava, Eve, and Adam. We find this in Genesis 3, where Satan tells Chava, God knows that on the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God. Here Satan presents Chava and Adam with the bait, the opportunity of becoming gods and having infinite knowledge and wisdom. Who wouldn't want those, right? Obviously, they both did. The switch came when they actually bit into the fruit of the tree of knowledge and fell from their immortal positions and became fragile and vulnerable human beings. Do we find examples of Satan's strategy of bait and switch in the body of Messiah today? Unfortunately, yes, and quite a bit of it. Let's begin with an examination of his tactics in understanding what Adonai Yeshua wants from us in our relationship with him. There are only two requirements. Love Adonai your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And love your neighbor as yourself. What does loving God with all our heart, soul, and might mean? Adonai Yeshua gives us a very clear understanding of this in John 14, when he shares with us, "If you love me, you will keep my commands." And where do we find his commands? Of course, in his Torah. And where do we find his Torah? From Genesis to Revelation. In the pages of his life instructions to us and exhortations to do the right thing, we find everything we need to live a righteous life, a life focused on loving Adonai Elohim, Adonai Yeshua. And what does loving your neighbor look like? Once more, we have a perfect example in the pages of his Torah, when he explains to the young lawyer what it means to love your neighbor. We find this teaching in Luke 10, verses 25 to 37. So what has Satan done within the body of Messiah, which constitutes a bait and switch? When I ask you how to draw closer to Adonai Elohim, Adonai Yeshua, how will you respond? Most people answer this question with the following: going to Shabbat or Sunday worship, giving generously to the congregation, singing spiritual music, praying, spiritual discipline such as fasting, Bible study, voting conservative, going on spiritual retreats, reading religious books, arguing with evolutionists, sending your child to a private Christian school or providing homeschooling, using religious language, avoiding R-rated movies, and not reading Harry Potter. Now, please do not misinterpret me. I'm not saying these are not important spiritual activities for us to partake. However, will they strengthen our relationship with our beloved Abba? Looking through this list, how many of these often require religious activities that address what Adonai Yeshua meant when he said, "If you love me, you will keep my commands"? As you look through the list, how many of them are focused on the ways in which Adonai Yeshua directed us to feed the hungry and the poor, look after the orphan and the widow, be generous to those who work hard for our benefit and make low wages, the restaurant servers, paper deliverers, etc. Take a beggar out for breakfast, for lunch, or dinner. Give some of your surplus clothing, especially now as we approach winter, to those who are without. Share the gospel with others who are hungry for his good news. Ask forgiveness from someone whom you have hurt in any way, either verbally or physically. These activities are what constitute working on our relationship with Adonai Elohim, Adonai Yeshua. There is nothing wrong in becoming a better human being and focusing on our efforts on doing the right thing as often as we can. Unfortunately, many within the body of Messiah, both in traditional Christianity and in Messianic congregations, have lost their connections with the Torah of Adonai Yeshua and focus on the outward displays of religion rather than the inward adoption of his commands and the servant attitude this requires of us. How is this the result of the adversary's working? He has seduced us into believing if we focus on these outward displays of piety and religiosity, we will be seen to be having a strong relationship with the Creator of the universe and the lover of our souls. This desire is founded on pride and the accompanying desire to be respected and admired by others. However, just the opposite is true. If we do not do the right thing and show love to our neighbors, then we are not following his commands and we are in a constant state of sin. We will not earn crowns by being religious. We will not hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant," if we ignore his mitzvot, his life instructions to us. Beloved, remember on the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, we had some soul searching to do. Now I pray each one of us has taken the time to engage in deep and critical reflection of our spiritual activities and not our religious activities. Are they religious in nature, designed to develop the impression of having a deeper relationship with him? Are we stuck on the adversary's web, paralyzed by Satan's venom of lies, telling us we are really closer to God by doing what is religious and pious? Or are we truly doing the work he asked of us, getting our hands dirty in order to strengthen and expand his kingdom here on earth, and thereby free in him? Abba Father, I pray for your guidance as we examine the motivations, the intentions of our actions. I pray that you help us focus on doing the righteous thing for you rather than doing for ourselves. I pray, Abba, that you allow us to ferret out with the help of the Holy Spirit those lies that have been embedded into our memories from the time we were children. And I pray, Abba, that you strengthen us as we repel the advances, the beautiful deceit of the enemy. Baruch Hashem Yeshua Moshiachinu. In your beloved name, Adonai Yeshua, we all pray.